Kenny the Sports Guy Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Kenny the Sports Guy's Podcast. I'm your host, Kenny Severo, and this is episode 2 of Sports Ball Talk. Joining me on the show today is Ruth Caguias, one of the up-and-coming Beauty and the Cleats Network. Ruth is a multimedia journalist who covers all things Florida sports. During her career, she has covered many different teams such as the Orlando Magic, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, UCF Knights, Orlando Lions, and the XFL's Vipers. I am honored and excited to welcome Ruth Caguias to the show. Thank you for being on the show today, Ruth. It is really an honor.
Thanks, Kenny, for having me on. I appreciate you taking the time.
All right. So let's start with the first question. This first question might be a little, how should I say it, is off, but I had to talk about your nickname, like Ruth the Truth. Honestly, I feel it's really awesome. And it kind of reminds me of a certain truth from the Boston Celtics, as we all know, is Paul Pierce. How did you get that nickname?
So there's a couple reasons that tie into that. It really started, I would say like 5 years ago, I started playing basketball for a Disney cast member league. I was the only girl that made the Division One tier. So because of that, a lot of the guys were just like, you know, getting to know me, obviously networking with a lot of different cast members of different employees that work on different sides of Disney. And somebody kind of just jokingly like was like, wow, you know, she plays pretty well. She can keep up with the guys. You know, she'll go back after the games and sling some beers with us and watch, you know, football with us and all this kind of stuff. Like, she's the truth. And somebody started just saying that, and it just kind of just stuck. So since I played with a lot of my actual coworkers, the name started going around at my job pretty heavily. And I worked at Disney for 7 years, so I knew a lot of people. So eventually it just kind of caught fire. Then when I started doing podcasts, when the whole pandemic kind of first started back in March of 2020, I kind of made that my persona for, you know, my podcast name, because my last name, the way it's spelled and pronounced, it kind of throws people off. So Ruth the Truth is a lot easier, and it's catchy. I like it. As a kid, I wasn't really a fan of my name because I'm like, oh, Ruth, people joke around that it's an old school name and this, that, and the third. And when I started playing sports, that's when it kind of became super relevant, because I started with softball. So the nickname Baby Ruth, my dad loved to call me Baby Ruth. And, you know, there was a lot of those kind of jokes and inside jokes that, between him and I. But once I became an adult, Baby Ruth kind of doesn't fly anymore. So you got to elevate to your new level. So Ruth the Truth is my next level. Who knows where it's going to end up?
Well, I think it's a very awesome nickname, and you actually earned that reputation, that nickname.
I think so too. I always keep it real. A lot of people may not like it a lot of times. People have told me that I come off a little intimidating because I'm very strong-minded, but that's the Aries bubbling inside me. So I kind of can't help it, but I always like to stay truthful with people and stay true to who I am. So Ruth the Truth kind of just, it feels right.
Well, that's how you got to live life. You got to live your life to be your most authentic self, you know?
Yeah. So a lot of people wouldn't even say, they won't take the time to say Ruth the Truth. They'll just be like, Truth. Like, that's how they kind of get my attention. So Truth is kind of like my thing.
Hey,
I actually have
awesome.
A charm. A friend of mine really loved the idea of the nickname and really thought it suited me well, and saw that I was kind of running with it and, you know, naming my podcast persona after that. So they got me a little charm that says the truth on it. So it's pretty fun.
That's awesome. I really like that necklace. It's really cool.
Thank you. I'll have a basketball underneath. I've been wearing this one for like 8 years now. So basketball was my number one love all through high school. So it means a lot.
What position do you play?
Shooting guard and point guard. One of the two. I was one of the shorter ones. Believe it or not, I'm 5'8".
Oh, really?
5'8" and a half, technically. But I was actually one of the shorter ones on the team, but I had, I was quick and I had a little bit of handle, so that they were able to use me as that, you know, the ball handler, bringing it up the court, or the sharpshooter, you know, sitting in the corner and just ready to launch it every time.
You're a little taller than me, actually. I'm 5'7".
Yeah. Well, the average height of an American man, or in America, you should say, is like my height, 5'8". So I'm taller than most girls, but I'm not too tall, which is good. But I mean, I would, if I had it my way, honestly, I've been saying this since I was younger, I wish I would have kept growing through my freshman year and stopped at like 5'11". That would have been like perfect, because I would have been able to probably dunk. which well, is always demoted.
Layups are actually better, so it's much more easier on the knees.
No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
All right. So the next question I have is, how did you get into media?
Funny story, actually, how that all kind of sprung upon me. I was about 23 years old. I had been working at a fine dining restaurant in Disney for a couple of years. Very comfortable with how busy Disney is and, you know, the money that you make. And it's kind of hard to walk away from that. But one day I was at work and it was a slow day, and I wasn't having the best day. And I overheard two of my coworkers who were also servers talking about how they wish they would have done things differently while they were in their 20s, because they were a lot older than me. They were about mid 40s. And they were just like, man, like if I would have known what I know now, like I would have done something so much different 15 years ago, like I wouldn't still be doing this. And as I'm like sitting there listening to them, I'm kind of like, that's a great point. You know, this is great money and everything, and I like the atmosphere and it's quick and you leave with cash and all that. And, you know, you get to do a lot of great things with the money that you make there, but that's not what I want to be doing at the age of, you know, trying to raise a family or trying to, you know, I don't want to be stuck in that industry. So I really started thinking about it as I'm standing there, and I'm standing by the bar, and there's a whole bunch of big screen TVs, and I'm watching, I believe it was Michelle Beal, who used to be a broadcaster for ESPN. She was on the TV talking about a game, and I felt like a light bulb bing in top of my head, because I'm just like, I have daily conversations with my friends, my coworkers about games. Oh, did you watch the game last night? This and that happened. And we'll like give our breakdown. I was like, why can't I just do that at a professional level and make a whole career out of it? Because that's what I like to do anyways. And I feel like I'm kind of good at it. I can get better at it. Obviously go to school for it to get to that level. And it all just clicked. So after that shift, the very next day, I did my Google research, called my older sisters, because I always run things by them before making any life decisions. The older sisters always got to get that phone call. I'm the baby of the family.
Of course, of course.
I'm the baby of the family, so contacting my older siblings is always the way to go.
I'm the second child, so.
Yeah, right, right. So did all the research that morning and decided to take the drive over to the university in my area and signed up for classes. And that was all she wrote. And that's how it kind of started.
Wow, you're really good at what you do, though. And I'm glad that you actually did all that. And now you're becoming well-known. You've been covering on sports for as long as I can remember when I found you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's just an incredible experience.
This journey started the summer of 2018 is when I started. It was like, okay, these are the classes I need to take. You know, this is what I need to get done. Let's start checking the boxes, you know? So that's kind of where it all started. And every year, because it's about to be New Year's, about to be 2022. In the beginning of the year, I write down a list of what I want to accomplish throughout that year. And I was able to accomplish a lot more than what I thought, especially through 2020 when the world kind of took a halt. That's when I really put my focus into doing this, because I'm like, I have all the time in the world. Disney's closed now. Like, let's really put in this into full drive. And it's been an incredible experience. And I told myself 2 years ago that before I turn 30, I want to have a conversation with Tom Brady. And I was able to accomplish that within a year of making that goal. So yeah.
I'm still jealous about that, by the way.
Yeah, I wish I could just take that moment back, because I would have done it so much different. You know, it's just, you think in your head, you know what you're going to say, but when that moment comes, it's almost like, cat's got your tongue. You just don't know what to say. And sometimes you'll stumble on your words or, you know, just stutter. And it's just, it's embarrassing, but I'm pretty sure Brady knows how intimidating it could be for a young reporter to have a conversation with him in front of a whole bunch of cameras and people.
Well, you never get it right the first time. So
yeah,
as you progress, it will get better.
Exactly. So now I know that when Brady asks me how I'm doing, all I got to say is living the dream. That's all I got to say.
Well, you got to say it and you got to think it too.
Exactly.
All right. So the next question I have is, what is your favorite sport to cover?
That is tough. My favorite sport to cover, I don't know. Soccer was a lot of fun, covering Orlando City and the Orlando City Lions, or I'm sorry, the Lions and the Orlando Pride, the women's team. That was really fun. I loved the stadium. They always served great food in the press box. And I probably did that the longest between those two teams. Cause I think, altogether I went to like 65 games between the two teams in the matter of two seasons. But there's nothing like being in an arena, like the Amalie Arena, and being so up and close and personal with the players, because they allow you at the Amalie Arena to go in the locker room and have discussions with one-on-one players. And that part was pretty remarkable. So I would probably have to lean more on basketball, just because the intensity of the game, the amenities you get at the arena, how up close and personal you can get with the players. So yeah, I would probably say Orlando Magic was probably, out of all football, soccer, basketball, I would say basketball is probably my favorite cover for sure. Nice. And I could be biased because I played basketball majority of my life. And I think, honestly, I think NBA and WNBA is probably the most exciting two leagues to really keep up with.
Well, I have to definitely agree on that. I'm a baseball person. I love baseball. It's my life. And I've covered a lot of games for baseball. I've been to a lot of different stadiums, Petco Park, Yankee Stadium, Citi Field. I also covered, you know, MLS as well. I cover the New York City FC games. Really nice, but they desperately need a new stadium. Yankee Stadium was not it. All right, so the next question I have is, what motivates you every day to do what you love?
Good question. What motivates me? I would definitely say the passion and the love that I have for the game keeps me motivated. The love that my father also had for the game keeps me motivated, and how I know how proud he is right now, even though he's not here with me anymore, that he knows that I'm actually, thank you, that I know that he knows that I'm following through with the promise I made him. That keeps me motivated. And definitely the support system that I have between my siblings, my parents, my boyfriend, they're all on board with what I want to do with my life. And they literally won't let me give it up. Like, they won't. Like, I can call them, tell them I'm having a bad day, tell them I want to give up on a certain project, and they don't let it happen. So they're a big motivation as well. Great question.
I'm sure your father is very, very proud of you. And
yeah, he is.
I know. But you know, sure. I'm glad that you're doing this, and he's very, very proud. So let's talk about some Bucks. The Buccaneers are obviously one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but has hit a speed bump as of this recording. They were shut out by the New Orleans Saints in Week 15. In your opinion, what went wrong with the Bucks during that game?
I'm not even going to start with injuries, because that's a given. I want to say the momentum just never had a chance to start. There was a lot of mistakes in the first half, obviously with a lot of the star players going out in the first half, Leonard Fournette's injury, Mike Evans leaving the game, Chris Godwin with the torn ACL, O'Connor is also out and was put on injured reserve. They just seemed very deflated, and the Saints have always known how to play defense against the Bucks and their offense. I mean, we've lost four regular season games against the New Orleans Saints, and they always seem to be those catch-up games where we're trying to catch up and nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first experience of facing the Saints was Tom Brady's very first game last season in a Bucks uniform playing New Orleans, and they were able to score, if I'm not mistaken, 21 points. But then when they faced them later on in the season, another loss came about, and they were only able to put up one field goal throughout that whole performance. So I want to say they were deflated from the start. They didn't really seem 100% on the same page offensively. And I just think the more starters that got hurt, the more position players that were hurt, they kind of just let that be. I mean, just it's like a balloon. You just completely, they were popped even after coming back after halftime. They didn't really seem to have their head in the game. So we'll see what happens in the playoffs, because that's all that matters. It's all right if the Bucks lose some regular season games. They're still 10-4. They're still in the top of the NFC, so it's not a huge panic moment, but those injuries are going to cost us. And the Bucks are making some moves now that Leonard Fournette has been banged up, as well as Ronald Jones. They've added Le'Veon Bell to their roster long as he can clear his physical. So I know that the Bucks know what they have to do to complete this season, try to get as healthy as possible and not put so much pressure on Rob Gronkowski. You got to surround Tom with more weapons, since it's the next man up mentality. It's always been that way. So yeah, the Bucks suffered a bad shutout. I mean, 0 points is just completely unacceptable. And I know Brady knows that. I think he's only been shut out three times after like 280.
First time in 15 years he's been shut out.
Yeah.
Last time was against the Bills. Long time ago.
long time ago. It's been a long time. So yeah, definitely a sad performance, but I know that they're going to look at the film and they're going to come back better, because I mean, defense is how you win championships, and they know that 100%, because that's how they won Super Bowl 55 against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, don't remind me. I actually lost a lot of money during that time.
I apologize. This is why I stay away from sports betting. I'll do again. Small bets, just like as a friendly wager, like a $5 wager is okay, but no more with the hundreds. We're not doing that.
All right. So despite all these injuries, do you think the Bucks can overcome these and win the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, now that Antonio Brown has been announced that he's returning, that's a big deal. Mike Edwards as well, going to be returning in that cornerback position. Signing Le'Veon Bell, I mean, Tom Brady knows how to win. Definitely not time to lose hope. I think they could stick with the big dogs in the NFC. And I know that they have gone on a road warrior pathway through the Super Bowl last year, and they were able to win in big time moments and really tough stadiums to win, including Lambeau Field as the Ice Tundra when they won the NFC Championship game. So they're really well coached. I mean, they have a leader like Tom Brady who has been in those big time scenarios. So I don't think it's time to lose hope. I think they could go all the way once again.
You mentioned Antonio Brown. With Goodwin out, do you see him more in a more expanded role?
Chris Godwin being out is a total gut punch to the Buccaneers, no matter what, if Antonio Brown's coming back. That's just, you can't really fill in that talent. Of course, Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers and going to the Hall of Fame nonetheless, but he comes with a lot of baggage. He comes with a lot of personal issues, and we didn't really have those problems at all with Chris Godwin. So, and I mean, he was 11 receptions away from breaking an all-time record for the Bucs franchise. So you can't replace that. So with Antonio Brown coming back, yes, it's a good sign. We need him now, but it's never a promise with AB.
Do you think the Bucks repeat as Super Bowl champions?
Huh. Yes. Yes. As much as I want my Dallas Cowboys to win it all this year, that's, as a true fan, that's what I want. But working alongside the Bucks for as long as I've had, I know what kind of mentality that they have, and they're going to be hard to stop.
Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, here we go. So I was born in New York City, and I was raised to hate the Dallas Cowboys because I'm a Jets fan, sadly. Yeah, I know they're doing terrible for the last 10 plus years. I'm still pissed off about what happened to them. But I have to ask this. What made you a Cowboys fan?
I was born in 93. The Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. My father moved to the States from Puerto Rico in the early 90s. And guess who was on top of the world in the early 90s? The Dallas Cowboys. So I think that had a lot of influence on my dad being new to the United States from Puerto Rico, and him and his brothers, you know, first getting into actual football because they don't, you know, they weren't really familiar with it. And that was the team that they witnessed winning the most. So I think they kind of just jumped onto the bandwagon. So when I was born in 93, they were just like, here's your onesie. You're going to wear a Dallas Cowboys star on everything that you wear, and you have no choice.
That is such a great story. Wow.
Yeah.
That is, wow. I didn't really expect that, honestly.
Yeah. I wouldn't want my father rolling in his grave if he knew I, you know, picked any other team as like my number one, because obviously living in Florida for 21 years, you're going to become a little bit of a Bucks fan because that's the stadium that you travel to the most to watch mm-hmm. games. My sisters both graduated from FSU. Jameis went to FSU, so my sister knew him. So I followed his journey when he first was drafted to the Bucks. And I mean, my very, very first Super Bowl, that's the ticket that I have for the Super Bowl, was in Tampa. Wow, that's awesome. Watching the Bucks win. So I've always loved Brady. He's never been a problem as a Dallas fan. He's never really been a problem for me because we never made it that far to him actually be a problem over there in the AFC. So I've always had a huge love for Brady. So when he came and signed with the Buccaneers, I was like, all right, let's see what they can do. And I was able to witness all the greatness that they accomplished last season.
Well, at least you lived to see a Super Bowl. I haven't. The last time the Jets won a Super Bowl was in 1969.
Yeah,
and
well,
no, you're right. It's me to this very day, yeah.
You're right. The Dallas Cowboys did win two Super Bowls while I was alive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So that's relevant. I like that. You're making me feel a little bit better.
But, you know.
Lot of people asked me, they were like, what jersey did you represent when you went to the week one matchup with the Bucks and the Cowboys? I had to show everybody on Twitter. I was like, I was wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey because at the end of the day, if I had to pick one, I'm rolling on Team Blue. Like,
of course, because you're a Cowboys fan, you know? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Just, you know.
But I have a lot of respect for Tampa Bay.
Of course, so of course.
I'm living in the area, so I'm not trying to make enemies. So.
All right, enough of the Dallas Cowboys hate. Let's talk about the offense. For the last few games, the offense has stalled. Dak Prescott has struggled throwing the ball. What do you think is wrong with Dak?
What is wrong with you, Dak? What? I want to know. You have your weapons. Michael Gallup has returned. CeeDee Lamb came back hot. Why can't you get the ball in their hands? I love Dak. I love the signing. I love him staying as a Dallas Cowboys for the next four seasons. But I don't think Dak is great. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's going to be able to carry Dallas to that next level without all of the cylinders popping off. We need a good run game. We need our defense to be on point. Like, everything's got to be right for Dak to be great. And because of that, I think it's becoming, I don't know, I think there's a little bit of issues with that because right now Zeke is beat up. Tony Pollard is beat up. They're not able to run the ball efficiently and consistently. And that's kind of what's harming Dak's game. And I mean, we saw him throw the ball 40 times against the Raiders. And what happened? They lost in overtime. So a lot of things need to be going right for Dak to be consistent. And the run game being hurt right now is definitely hurting his game. But I think things are going to be turned around. Tony Pollard played pretty well against the Giants. And I'm looking for them to kind of hit that stride because they have some pretty, I wouldn't say easy defenses to go up against in the next couple of weeks, but they're going up against teams that they've already beat. And they put up a 40 burger on the Philadelphia Eagles. So there's no reason for them not to do that again.
I hate to admit it. I think the Dallas Cowboys is good, but their offense needs to get it together soon, because if this was the playoffs, this would not fly. It would not fly at all.
Right, and the Bucks are kind of in that situation too.
Mm-hmm. We could just,
they have a lot more injuries on the offensive side of the ball, but they're in the same discussion.
All right, speaking of the defense, they have been spectacular. They've been lights out lately with the breakout season of rookie Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. Should Micah Parsons win Rookie of the Year, and should Trayvon Diggs win Defensive Player of the Year?
Ooh, that's really tough. I do think Micah is a strong, strong candidate for Rookie of the Year. The numbers that he's been putting up, the kid had like 9 sacks by week 10. Like, it mm-hmm. was just, it was a given that he was, and it's crazy because he keeps playing multiple positions. One minute he'll be playing defensive end, next he'll be playing linebacker, and he's still able to be efficient no matter where they place him. The thing that's so great about Micah is they could line him up on a receiver, and he's that quick that he's going to be able to match up against, a Stephon Diggs, against a Mike Evans, against anybody, because the guy is just that quick. Very young talent. He has a long way to go, but I could only see greatness for him. So I really think he is a strong candidate for Rookie of the Year. And if he doesn't go as Rookie of the Year, I see him going for the Defensive Player of the Year. So Trevon Diggs was definitely hot in the beginning. He slowed down a little bit, kind of got his legs back underneath him after the takeaway against the Giants game. But I have Micah probably ahead of him in that category as a Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, I have to agree. I think Micah, he's going to win Defensive Player the Rookie of the Year, but Defensive Player of the Year, I don't think he's going to win along with Trevon Diggs. I would have to go to Pittsburgh for TJ Watt.
TJ, yeah.
But the problem with TJ Watt is he got hurt, for a substantial amount of games. And that might hurt his chances of winning Defensive Player of the Year. But if he didn't got hurt, that he would have been my runaway pick to win. But I think Micah Parsons is going to finish second in Defensive Player of the Year. I think Trayvon Diggs, he's going to finish third. And I would have to go with TJ Watt.
Yeah, I have to respect all of what you said. TJ has been an entity for Pittsburgh. He's really been helping the Steelers stay in those games, applying that pressure, sacking the quarterback. Just he's all over the place. So him being hurt maybe hurt his chances, but at the end of the day, when it comes to a defensive player, I don't really think they look at the numbers too much. They look mm-hmm. at his productivity on the field of what he's able to accomplish and how he's able to help his defense. So,
I guess we agree to disagree. So, will the Cowboys go far in the postseason?
I have them going to the NFC Championship game. Yep, I said it. Yep, I said it.
That's pretty bold.
I have them going to the NFC Championship game, and if they don't, then I would be very disappointed of the outcome of the season for them. So it's NFC Championship game or bust for me.
So you have the Cowboys and the Buccaneers in the NFC title game.
I do. That was my prediction from the start of the season. I said we're going to have a repeat of week one, but hopefully with a different outcome. Hopefully.
That was
a great game. I was at that game. That game was incredible.
Yeah, I actually remember seeing that game on
Brady Thursday threw night. For over 300 yards. Dak threw for over almost 406, I think he threw, with 4 touchdowns. And it was great to see.
That was actually a great game, actually. Mm-hmm. For me, I think the Buccaneers is going to make it back to the NFC title game. And I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Rams. I think the Rams have a chance because of that offense, that defense is getting up to form. And it's going to be a Buccaneers-Rams NFC title game for me.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I think I was a huge Rams fan, but I transferred over to the Jets. And that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I've ever done in my life because I'm not really that good. But that's a story for another day. So, will the Cowboys win the Super Bowl? She had to think long and hard about
this. Oh, my goodness. Because it's like the fan in me wants to say yes, but the analyst in me wants to be realistic and saying that I have them going in the NFC Championship game, but I have them either losing to the Bucks or Green Bay.
Green Bay is another good one too, but I don't know. I don't trust Aaron Rodgers, to be honest. I mean,
yeah,
he's a good player in the regular season, and he might win MVP, but in the playoffs, he just seems to disappear.
Mm.
And, you know, that's what baffles me is he is such a good player to only win one Super Bowl and just choke in the NFC title game every time. It just really, really baffles me with that.
Yeah, last season, I think he had his chance. I think he could have ran the ball, at least got to the 1 yard line and then scored and then had that 2-point conversion to win the game. I think a lot has to do with the front office drama that was going on. I think that's a distraction for the team. Yeah, I mean, I think Green Bay is the kryptonite for the Cowboys when it comes to the playoffs. So I just really hope I don't see them in the first round.
Well, I blame Scotty Miller for what happened last year. After that halftime, I don't know what happened there.
All right, yeah, so with like 5 seconds on the clock and they scored. Yeah, that kind of, that was a gut punch.
Yeah, that was a gut punch to me and other Packers fans. All right, so let's talk to some NBA. You have covered the Orlando Magic for a time. Can you provide some context on what it's like to cover an NBA team?
Very fast pace. People don't tell you much. You got to learn on the fly. You got to pay attention to detail when you're in that building. Cause like I said, everything's moving quick. You got to know how to be assertive when it comes to asking questions. Don't let your nerves get to you. What other good advice could I give you? And just have fun. Just make sure that you're always enjoying it and never take it for granted. Cause those moments being in the arena, you know, having your mic in LeBron James's face and asking him questions, like you cannot, don't take those moments for granted and just always take the time to really breathe and look around your surroundings and just be grateful for the blessings that have come your way.
How does it differ from other sports such as the NFL, NHL, and MLS?
With the indoor facility arena, people dress a lot more professional, I guess. Depending on what network you work for, it's a little more laid back. I wore just kind of dress pants to the MLS games, but for the Magic, all the women I saw were wearing dresses, like professional dresses, long sleeve dresses, or pencil skirts and things like that with blazers. So it was a little bit more of a professional attire and atmosphere. You always kind of got to look TV ready because you don't know when that camera is coming your way.
True.
So that was one of the biggest difference, you know, between the teams that I've covered.
All right. Let's talk about the season. I mean, the season has been, how should I say it? It's very chaotic because of COVID. Teams that you didn't really expect to be in the playoffs are actually in the playoffs for the time being. But the Golden State Warriors and Phoenix Suns have two of the best records in the NBA. Which one of these teams do you think has a chance of winning the West?
I love the Suns so much, but I love Golden State as well. So picking between the two is really tough. But the Phoenix Suns have some dogs on their team. Like,
yes, they do.
Defensive monsters. So that's the thing that I feel like they have an advantage over the Golden State Warriors is how dominant they are on defense. And defense gets you a long way. But if Klay Thompson comes back healthy for Golden State, I could see them making it to the finals again. If he comes back as the old Klay that we saw before he went down the first time against the Toronto Raptors in the finals. Like, I want to see the Klay that we saw before that, the Klay that was dropping 51 points a game. If we can bring that Klay back, I will choose Golden State over Phoenix just because of the veteran presence that is all on Golden State, that they've been under that pressure. I mean, they have Draymond Green, they have Stephen Curry. If Klay Thompson comes back, they brought Andre Iguodala. They took him away from the Miami Heat and brought him back to Golden State. I think he brings a lot of great defensive presence as alongside Draymond. So out of those two teams, I would probably pick Golden State, but on the terms of Thompson being the splash brother that we know that he can be, and with you know, them just having the seating advantage as well is gonna be great for them.
Oof, that's actually really good. I don't need really them to
be in no. What do they have? They had like some tournament last year.
The play-in tournament.
The play-in tournament. Like, we don't need none of that. Like, let's have a great seating. Don't put yourself in those predicaments, and let's go win another championship.
Yeah, I don't think that play-in tournament is really that good. It makes it a little bit more exciting, but that's only beneficial towards teams that have losing records, like in the East and the West.
Getting the job done in the regular season exactly. Is the only teams that benefit from that scenario. So
Clay, he might come back in January. I think they're targeting a
January. Yeah, I had a feeling it was going to be sometime after Christmas. I didn't think it was going to be after the All-Star games. I felt like that was a little too far.
So here's what I found out. I think Clay is going to return between January 8th or January 16th, both home games. So I really hope he comes back, because if they do, man, the Golden State Warriors are going to win the title. I guarantee you.
Guarantee it.
So who are your playoff teams from the West and the East?
Obviously, Phoenix, Golden State, Lakers have to be in that conversation out of respect. The Los Angeles Clippers. Obviously, the Denver Nuggets. I want to see Portland get in there, even though they've been struggling. Even Dame's been struggling. Who did I forget? I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, I would really, really love to see the Memphis Grizzlies play in the playoffs, because I just think that they are so – I mean, what did they win? Like 8 out of the 10 games that John Morant wasn't even in because he was dealing with injury.
And one of those games, they won by 72 points to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, my gosh. Was it 72? I thought it
72.
Was
72. Yep. No, it was 72. Lord. That was so bad.
Yeah. And then obviously Dallas. You got to show respect to Dallas, just because Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, they call him the unicorn for a reason. Both of those players I had a chance to talk to the last season before Dirk Nowitzki retired. So those were great guys to talk to. But yeah, those are my playoff teams. I would have obviously both teams in LA. I would have Denver. I would have the Phoenix Suns. I would have Golden State. And I'd have Memphis.
All right, so for me, from the East, I would have to go with one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even go translate to the East. Want to hear my East teams first?
Of course.
Okay, hear me out. Chicago, right?
I have to agree with that.
Okay, Brooklyn, obviously. Yeah,
obviously.
Milwaukee, obviously. Atlanta, I love Atlanta to make that comeback. Miami as well. Miami, Atlanta, would love to see that rematch in the playoffs. And Boston.
That's actually pretty similar to what I have. So yeah. With the East, I will have to say the one seed goes to the Nets. The 2 seed goes to the Chicago Bulls. 3 seed goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. 4 seed goes to the Miami Heat. The 5th seed goes to the Sixers. 6, I will have to go with maybe a shocker, the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's my shocker. So 7th, I will have to go with the Atlanta Hawks. They're going to come back. They're going to get together. Mm-hmm. And 8th, I will have to go with, this really pains me to say because they're really, really struggling right now, the New York Knicks.
I like New York. I love Randall. I love Randall. I love RJ. I love that Derrick Rose came back to the Knicks. I've always been a huge Derrick Rose fan. Yeah, I like the Knicks a lot, even their head coach as well.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau is awesome. But for some reason, they are struggling. I have no idea why. And this has been like a nightmare for New Yorkers and Knicks fans alike, because we're trying to figure out why is this happening. It's really, really ridiculous. All right, so for the West, I will have to go with the number 1 seed with the Suns, 2, the Warriors, 3, the Jazz, 4, the Nuggets, 5, the Clippers, 6, the Grizzlies, 7th, the Lakers, and 8th, the Mavericks.
Wow, I like that.
I would put the Mavericks higher, but I do not trust Jason Kidd. I do not trust him at all. I don't think he's a good coach. I think what they did last year replacing Rick Carlisle was stupid. But the only person that they have right now, to me, is one of the best players on the planet, Luka.
Yeah.
And they need help. they need to help out him.
Yeah, Hardaway Jr. needs to step up with his shooting. Kristaps Porzingis, I feel like if he stays healthy, they have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to game time decisions, but when it comes to buzzer beaters, you got to make sure Luka has the ball no matter what.
Exactly.
Don't pass the ball to anybody else but Luka. He's the guy that will win you games and last second opportunities.
I like that.
Yeah.
So the final question I have is, who do you got winning the NBA Finals?
All right, hear me out. Kyrie's going to go get vaccinated. Okay.
He's already in protocol already.
Oh my God. This is not how we start, Kyrie. If Kyrie comes back and plays like the way that we know Kyrie can play, because I really think Milwaukee wouldn't have been able to beat Brooklyn if Kyrie was healthy. Just saying. True. They were only a shoe size away from winning that series anyways in game seven. I want to say that Brooklyn would probably be able to, you know, James Harden healthy, Kevin Durant healthy, supporting cast healthy, return of Kyrie Irving. I have Brooklyn Nets as my favorites to win it all. I need the championship to come stay in the East. I like it over here. I don't like it when it goes all the way over there because then, you know, West Side, they all get crazy. No, keep it over here. So Milwaukee did a great job keeping it, holding it down. And I would hope the Brooklyn Nets can pull it through.
Well, for me, I'm going to go with a familiar face and say the Phoenix Suns. I think Chris Paul finally wins his first ring.
I guess the likelihood of them coming back to the NBA Finals is really high. So
yeah, it's really,
I can
really
see
high.
Them. And I mean, I think if Chris Paul has an opportunity to win a ring a second time, I don't think he's going to let it slip through his fingers.
All right, then. So do you have anything that you want to promote or any projects that you're working on?
Yes, absolutely. I've just signed with a new network called NSPN, Next Gen
Sports. Oh, congrats.
Thank you so much. So make sure to travel to the NSPN Facebook page. We have the Jake Paul interview on there because we had one of our reporters actually interview Jake Paul and he promised them a Rolex. So that whole scenario has been broken down on our Facebook page, NSPN.com. You guys will find all of our articles and podcasts as well. I started a network myself with Christina, the Tampa Sports Bay. It's called Beauty in the Cleats. So make sure to follow us on all social media platforms and give us a subscription on YouTube. I'm on the radio every Sunday for a Bucks pregame show. It's called 102 The Bone. You can look it up on the website if you're not in the local Tampa area. 102thebone.com. We'll pull up the radio show. I'm live from 10 to 11 with Emmy Award winning sports analyst and broadcaster Al Keck, and just stay tuned with me on Instagram. It's Sports Truth with Babe Ruth, and then we have on Twitter Ruth the Truth with three H's at the end. Don't forget the triple H. Follow me, I'll give you a follow back if you have content, and I will share and retweet, and I like to help out the community. So women in sports, we got to stick together.
And also, I like that Triple H reference too. I'm a huge wrestling fan, so I already know where that came from.
Yep.
All right, then. So that's all the questions I have today. And it is my favorite sports ball talk that I've done. And I really, really want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Kenny, for having me on. And it's been a blast. Make sure you guys download and follow Kenny on all of his social medias. He's doing great work and he's continuing to grow.
I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Well, that is the end of this episode of Sports Ball Talk. A very special thank you to Ruth Caguias for joining me on the show. She, along with her co-host Christina, has a podcast / sports network called Beauty in the Cleats, and they do wonderful stuff over there. Check out this episode at kenthesportsguy.com, Ken with two N's, and it's also available on Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can find a video version on Kenny the Sports Guy's podcast YouTube channel. As always, you can find me on social media on Twitter at Kenny_sports and on Instagram at Kenny the Sports Guy, and actually on TikTok because TikTok is apparently famous right now. You can find me on TikTok at Kenny Sports Podcast there. Until the next episode, see ya, and I hope you stay safe and healthy.
Kenny the Sports Guy Podcast.